Well, last week we talked about love in action, and this is a continuation of that message. We've been talking about God's love, or God's love flowing through us all year, and been praying about the many scriptures. And so let's just dive right in today. Let's look at a really familiar scripture, I mean, for all of us, Philippians 4:19. Many people's favorite verse. I know why. It's a good verse, a great verse. And my God, why don't we read it together? All ready? And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's good stuff there, isn't it? Starts off with my God. On Valentine's Day, I don't know if you got some stuff for anybody. I got Susie some. I got her all the staple items, chocolate and flowers, and then I had a card in there. I'm just bragging on myself. Is that okay? I'm so good. No. But I wrote out a card, and you know, Susie's love language is physical touch and words of affirmation. I mentioned that last week. And so, you know, sometimes this is more important just to write a card. That's probably the best thing you can do. But on the end, I ended it with signing it. I said, "You're Matt." And thank you. Thank you from way back there. I signed it, "You're Matt." And that's the way we look at that, our relationship. I mean, she's mine. I'm hers. You know, and it's loving, it's intimate. We are each other's, and so that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, "My God." He's not just saying God or even Heavenly Father. He's saying, "My God," someone he's in relationship with. All that God has is mine. All that I have is His. It's a covenant relationship. So my God, and then it says, "Shall supply," and this. Means to fill to the full. So it's not just meeting part of the need. It's not just, you know, some, a little bit. No, it's more than enough. It covers it. It fills it to the brim. Overflowing. And then all your need, and this word means not just need, like we have a need. It means wants and desires. Anybody here have any wants? Sometimes you feel selfish wants or desires. And I mean, there's a lot of things we could do without that we have in our homes or, you know, but it's a want, it's a desire. So he wants to supply all your need, your wants, and your desires. Now, it's according to his riches. God's wealth. In glory by Christ Jesus. Let me talk just for a second here, minute, about God's wealth. Let's look at Haggai 2, verse 8. Because we quote that verse, but we don't really think much about God's riches. Does he have enough to supply our need? Haggai 2, verse 8 says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." I calculated that all the gold they've mined, or someone else did, calculated the gold that's been mined so far in history is a total of $8 trillion. And I'm sure there's a lot more out there that we don't know about, but it says the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Psalm 50, verse 10, says this, "Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness." So we get on out beyond silver and gold, and we're talking about everything else. It belongs to God. And so God has the wealth to meet the need of every person, all 7 billion people on earth. And that doesn't even scratch the surface of what he has. So I guess what I'm trying to say to you today is he is well able to meet your needs, because sometimes in this world, this mentality of lack, that there's not enough, shortage, that God doesn't have enough to meet your need. He's got an abundance way over and above to meet your need. He wants to meet your need. He desires to meet your need. So I just want to encourage you with that today. Now, you've got to read Philippians 4:19 in context. It's a verse we like to take away from the other verses in Philippians 4. That's okay. But let's read it in context. I want to read it to you in the Message translation. Philippians 4, starting in verse 15, says this: "You Philippians well know, and you can be sure I'll never forget it, that when I first left Macedonia province, venturing out with the message, not one church helped out in the give and take, or you could say sowing and reaping, of this work except you. You were the only one. Even while I was in Thessalonica, you helped out, and not only once but twice. Not that I'm looking for handouts, but I do want you to experience the blessing that issues from generosity. I now have more. The gifts you sent from Epaphroditus were more than enough, like a sweet-smelling sacrifice roasting on the altar, filling the air with fragrance, pleasing God no end. You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need, His generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that pours out from Jesus." So verse 19, all that I just shared about God's abundance according to His riches and glory, Him supplying all your need, it fits with sowing. Sowing and reaping, and He's talking here about sowing financial seeds. I talked about love in action last week, and I was saying it wasn't just financial; it's all, you know, it's all other things. But here, in these verses here, He is talking about finances. And so, when we're talking about love and love in action, it is giving of your finances, and there is a correlation with our need. Needs, wants, and desires being met, there's a correlation with our sowing. Can everybody see that? Can you see that in the context of Philippians 4? I'm not just making it up. I'm not saying this to get your money today. I'm just saying I'm trying to get money to you today. He wants to supply all your need, but you've got to give Him permission. You have to authorize Him. You have to open the door for Him to do that, and we do that by our sowing. Now, it's all done, our giving. It's not give to, just give to get. It's not some kind of a Ponzi scheme here to get things from God. Kristen mentioned on Wednesday's offering on Wednesday about 1 Corinthians 13, talked about, even though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So the motive is love. That's what backs up our giving. So the motive is love here. Now, giving is a grace from God. Let's continue to read about the Philippian church in 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8, he's talking about the Philippians now. He says the Macedonian church, but the Philippians are in that. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace." Everybody say grace. A grace is an empowerment from God's presence. It means God's presence comes on you and causes you to act and to do things. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in their riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And not only as we hope, but first they gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace. So he's talking about a grace to give. It's an empowerment from God to give, in this context, finances. There's a grace from God to give finances. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, that's a good thing, in speech, we know about the power of our words, in knowledge, in diligence, and in all your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. So God is saying to us, there's a grace to give. The Macedonian church, they abounded in this grace, even though they were dealing with lack. And sometimes we'll say that, well, I'm going to give one day. When I get that $1 million, then I'm going to be generous. I remember back when I was at Oral Roberts University, and I was there, and finances was a struggle, and I was, you know, many times thought I was going to get kicked out because of finances. And the Lord directed me to give this money to one of the student teachers. Was going to school and trying to support herself and all the things she was doing. It wasn't being paid much from teaching. And the Lord directed me to give her some funds. And so whenever I had extra money, now I'm not talking $50, $100, $200. I'm talking $1. I would take that $1, put it in a scripture, an encouraging note, slide it under her door, and plant that seed. And so I didn't have the mentality, well, I'm going to wait for $20, or I'm going to wait for $100, or when I get some big harvest, I'm going to give. No, I gave what I had in my hand. And it's amazing what God can do with the seed you have. See, generosity is not an amount. Generosity is about your heart. And giving of finances is a, you know, like we talk about tongues, speaking in tongues is an outward manifestation of an inward commitment, inward belief. It's a sign. Giving of finances is a sign of generosity. It's part of it. I mean, it's not all of just giving. It's not just finances. But generosity is manifested. But it's not an amount. It's about your heart. It's about your attitude. And that $1 represented everything I had. Now, back then, a dollar would actually buy something. But it was painful. It was a sacrifice for me to give that dollar when it's all I had. One time in an offering at another church there in town, I had nothing. And the only thing I felt directed to give was my watch. Now, it wasn't an expensive watch. It was a certain brand. Someone had given it to me. But I just felt I wanted to give in that offering. And so I gave. That's the only thing I had was my watch. And it's amazing that you're at ORU. I had no idea how it was all provided for. God provided $8,000, paid my tuition in cash. Went home that summer back to Minnesota, a couple hundred dollars in my wallet, tuition paid for. Now, my seeds weren't big. I didn't have a whole lot to seed. It was $1. It was a watch. It was, you know, some things here and there. But I was being generous with what I had, and look at what God did. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He has got more than enough to put you over, but are you going to work with him in this seed time and harvest? Sowing and reaping. Well, money doesn't really mean that much. Oh yeah, but then why do you work so much for it? It is important. It's important what you do with your money. The Bible talks about hoarding and greed and all, and the dangers of that. But if you really want to live a life of love, live a generous life. Be a generous person. Be a giving person. That's a life filled with joy. I mean, look at what 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, amplified. Says this: let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart. God's not making you do anything. I'm not making you do something. This is all from the heart. Let each one of you give as he made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful. One translation says hilarious. A cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Your heart is in it. Generous heart. Now look at that now with verse 8 right here. Talking about that grace. There's a grace to give. There's a grace to reap. We need to do some messages on that. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
It's an empowerment from his presence. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, in whatever the need, be self-sufficient. Philippians 4:19. Possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. God wants to see the generous person have that ability to be even more generous. And this life of giving brings joy. It's not loss. It's not pain. It's not suffering. It brings joy. And God wants us to live a life of joy. And so offering time shouldn't be a awkward or a painful time. It should be a time of joy. Maybe next time we receive an offering, maybe the congregation is just going to bust out in joy and there's just going to be laughter and we won't be able to go any further in the service because of all the laughter. But I think sometimes it's still, you know, if I just get in the natural and think about our giving for last year, we could have bought a brand new, really nice vehicle. So. But I would rather have given that, no regrets, thrilled about it, enjoyed because of what God's got in store in the future.
Yes, that's right.
Got a good marriage, about to get my fourth child married here. Grayson and Harry are graduating college. in the springtime, you're looking at a blessed man. All the sacrifice, all the seed sown, it's all worth it. But there's a joy in our family that comes from giving. All my our kids and in-laws, I mean, they're givers. And really what I need to do, especially with my two sons here, I need to probably correct them about giving too much. They got a problem. They give too much. And so I got to work with them on this. And I don't know. Tom, what do you think? Do I need to say something or no? Maddie, Molly, I mean, just givers. It's not about stuff. God gives them stuff. And that's how we want our lives to be. You know, where I'm at, I'm 55, and I the days that I have remaining, how many days it is, I want my life to be about giving. I want my life to be about a blessing. It's not about accumulating stuff. I can't take any of it with me. But it talks about here, you know, that generous giver, verse 8, you know, there's a grace. There's a grace to give, there's a grace to receive. God wants to get more resources in the hands of a generous person. So if you're, and again, I'm not going to have, raise your hand, are you generous? No, I mean, you know whether you are or not, God knows. But I'm just saying, we're talking about 2018, we're talking about open doors, and we're open in ministry, different things. I just sense that God wants to get more resources in your hands. And so I would just start getting ready, start preparing yourself. Have an expectation. There ought to be a buzz in this place. There ought to be an expectancy every time we get together, but not just while you're in here. God will provide. God will meet your need. God will meet your need over and above. He'll meet your wants, your desires, your needs. That's my God. And if you're not, if you're a tightwad, you know who you are. You can make a change. Make a change today. I won't be that way. Every day just griping about money and driving by the gas station and watching the fuel thing and griping about that and griping about the economy and griping about your kids and griping about your wife. I try to get Susie to spend money. She won't spend money. We're out. Why can't I just have a normal wife? Where I got to rein her in. I'm the spender in the family. You probably knew that already. But I tell you, when you live a generous life, you live way above your income. And you enjoy your life. Now, I'm stealing Nate Barber's 1 Timothy. He's trying to own it, but I'm taking it back. 1 Timothy 6, and I believe he's talking about Good News Church. I know he's talking about us. Now listen to these words. Nate says it all the time. Thank you for your generosity. We are a generous church. He knows that. I know that. I've seen it over 20-something years. What we've been able to do in this congregation has been amazing. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves. Tell your neighbor to stop being so full of themselves. Now turn to your other neighbor and tell him you're full of it. Of generosity. Full of something. You guys enjoyed that a little bit too much. Here's a little built up something here. That's a good word for a lot of people. Quit being so full of themselves. So obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on the riches, on all the riches we could ever manage. He likes to pile it on. To do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. Now, I like this verse 19. If they'll do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. Rich in generosity, rich in giving, rich in doing good, rich in helping others. I mean, this is the life you want to live. This is God's plan. Now we're going to close, and I own these verses. If Pastor Nate owns 1 Timothy 6, I own Acts chapter 4. It's mine. No, turn to Acts 4. You've heard this so many times, but it really fits well with everything being said today. Acts 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. See, the early church, generous church, giving church. They had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, that's an empowerment from God's presence. Great grace was upon them all. I really like that. I speak that over this church, and you're part of this church. Great grace is upon us. Now look at what happens when great grace is upon a group of people. Great grace is upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Don't raise your hand, but does anybody here that has any lack? And I'm not just talking finances. Anybody here have any lack? Well, I'm telling you, the God of Philippians 4:19 wants to supply all your need. And we are generous. We are a generous church. We are generous people. And so let's just start declaring and let's start speaking. Lack, you go. Abundance, you come. Let's just kind of practice that. Say, lack.
Lack.
And say it with like an attitude, like with a little. Lack.
Lack.
You go.
You go.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lack.
Lack.
You get.
You get.
In the name of Jesus. So we start speaking that for ourselves. Start speaking that for Good News Church. Start speaking that for your neighbor. Then you follow it up with abundance come. Abundance come to me in the name of Jesus. Supply you come to me in the name of Jesus. Supply you come to me in the name of Jesus. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Say that five times. No. Not just my abundance or your abundance, his abundance according to his riches, which we talked about, his wealth in glory by Christ Jesus. So I was praying about this, and I said, Lord, are we ready to walk in the fullness of Acts 4? Because I'm patiently waiting for that day, the fullness of Acts 4. I mean, Acts is the standard. I want to hit that standard and go beyond. These are our people. So I was just praying. I said, talking to him, I said, Lord, is it time for us to walk in the fullness of Acts 4? He said, no. Said, we're not there yet. But he had some good news. He said, we are now entering into another dimension, is the way the word he used, in 2018, of his abundance. I'll take that. Amen. I'll take, I mean, as long as dimension's the right way, I mean.
That's right. Yeah.
And it all kind of fits if he's talking about open doors of ministry and fruitfulness. I mean, some of those will lead us to other nations, maybe other parts of the United States, other ministries that we're doing here in town. That's going to take resources. It's going to take us having the resources, other people working with us, partnering with us. And so it totally fits with open doors. It totally fits with God's plan. And we need to have an expectancy, and we need to talk to lack and not tolerate lack. But then also call on that abundance. And still start walking in a grace to reap. If there's a grace to sow, there's a grace to reap. And it's not just working harder. You wouldn't say that, Kathy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I just want to say to you, God's got ways to get resources to you. Now, there's ways you know. I mean, you get your paycheck, and maybe you have somebody that owes you some money, or you got the tax refund coming, or other different things. And so there's those ways you know about, but there's those ways you don't know about. God's got unusual ways to get resources to you. You need to be expecting that. I mean, we'd have had things where, you know, the hospital, you know, canceled a bill for tens of thousands of dollars. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't even have my faith was to pay the bill, and I was working on paying it, and God just took care of the whole thing. That's an unusual way. Grayson, you know, likes to sell all our stuff. So he can give the money away. No, but so many times he'll sell his something, he'll meet somebody for the transaction, they give him the price, and then they add money to it. That's unusual. Who does that? I mean, when you go you know, Walmart or Target, wherever you go, and you're there and you're just feeling generous, add another $10 on my bill. Has anybody ever done that? Or how about your IRS check? Add another $1,000 on there. You've done so much for me. I just want to bless you. I mean, he's got lost money that he don't even know about. There may be some inheritance sitting in some bank account with your name on it.
Well, I call that in.
Tanya, you want that one?
I'll take it.
He'll give you wisdom about your business, wisdom about investments. An expectancy, an attitude. You see, this is faith, and faith acts. And again, it's not about accumulating a bunch of stuff. It's about us being more generous.
That's right.
We were able to give as a church. What was our numbers, Nate? I don't remember. 17% of our revenue we gave to missions and ministries last year. Let's do more.
Yeah, it's doubling.
And that means if more's coming in here, that means more's coming into your hands.
That's right.
Praise God. Let's stand, everybody.